Support for the broadcast of Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings comes from Hammer and Wecon, over 100 years strong, proudly serving Petersburg since 1921. That's Hammer and Wecon.
Excused.
Jay?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
Rob?
Here.
Donna?
Here.
Mark?
Here. Okay, we have five assembly members present in the chambers, and the mayor is zooming in. It's now time for the voluntary pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands,
our nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, zooming in once again, and just to make it a little easier on my end when I'm trying to chair the meeting from out of the room, if a person must be recognized, just say Mr. Mayor or raise your hand, you know, shoulder height or something, so it's easy to see you, and that'd really make it easier on my part. So
everybody hear him? I've got old fisherman ears. I can't hear him.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have him up as high as I can. And if I turn him up much higher, all the mics are going to come on.
Jimi Hendrix syndrome? Okay, okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Okay, so if I speak a little louder, does that help?
A little bit.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if I could turn up my volume on this end for input or not. But okay, anyway, it's
that helped.
Time for approval of minutes. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the October 16th, 2023 assembly meeting minutes. Okay. So there's been a motion and a second?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. None opposed. So we'll approve the minutes from the meeting. Item four, amendment and approval of the meeting agenda for today. I'd entertain a motion to approve today's meeting agenda as if there are no amendments.
So move.
Second.
Motion's been made for the second. I don't see any hands coming up for amendments. So all those in favor of moving forward with the meeting packet as presented, say aye.
Aye. Sorry.
Opposed? None. Member Schwartz, what was that? Okay.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine.
What's up, Member Schwartz? Oh,
go ahead and just talk into the mic.
Yeah, I don't have anything from this corner.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move forward as the agenda is presented to us today. There are no public hearings today. There are no bid awards. So item seven is persons to be heard related to items on today's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak? Please step to the podium, state your name, who you represent. There's a 5-minute time limit. And Clerk Thompson, if you could time this in the room there, that would be great.
Sure.
Hi, this is Sarah Fine Walsh speaking for myself, voicing my support for a direct sale to Skylark for the requested purchase of borough-owned property. I believe there's good cause shown for this direct sale because this new single-family affordable subdivision by Skylark addresses an urgent and well-documented need for affordable housing in our community. And minimizing Skylark's cost to purchase these lots is critical for that central goal that this new subdivision be affordable. I understand that the assembly is concerned about setting precedent, and I think that makes sense. And I think a showing of good cause is a good precedent to set when authorizing a direct sale. I believe the assembly did a similar analysis in the direct sale to Wecon Enterprises. And so that for these reasons, I believe there's good cause to authorize a direct sale to Skylark, and I support that action by the assembly. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your testimony today. Is there anyone else in the audience with views related to today's agenda?
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm Sven Westergaard, Assistant Business Manager for the IBEW International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 1547. I have here with me Sam Callum. He's one of our negotiators, so I'd like to turn the mic over to Sam for a sec.
Yeah, hi, thanks, Sven. My name is Sam Callum, and I'm representing myself and the majority of our members over at Power and Light with the IBEW. I'd like to just say that we've been shorthanded with linemen for a while now, and without an electrician slash operator and inspector for a while. And it's been pretty taxing on the employees that that are there. And we're hopeful that this contract that both sides have TA'd will be ratified in the executive session later on today. And we feel that it's a fair contract. You know, it gets us close to the industry standards. And, you know, we need to attract the talent, you know, for some of these highly skilled jobs. And so far we've been struggling with that. So, again, we're hopeful that this will get us one step closer to filling these positions and keeping the lights on for Petersburg. So, anyway, in short, we're hoping that this will get passed by the Assembly and needs to happen. And we can make the next steps of getting new faces in town and fill these positions and keep the power on for everybody. So, thank you.
So, and just to follow up, yeah, the IBEW and your guys' staff did a great job. I believe it's one of the quickest times they've done negotiating. I believe both sides will be happy with this. It will get you guys back in the hunt to get some qualified people in here. Where the wages have been kind of stagnant, and the whole industry right now is just jumping leaps and bounds by wages. So this will get us back in the hunt so we can get some good people in here to, like Sam said, keep your guys' power on and keep it in a safe and good manner. So I think you guys would do good with taking this through and pushing it through. And both sides, like I said, we're pretty happy with it. So thank you guys and good luck.
Any questions?
Okay, thank you for your testimony today. Any questions or anyone else in the room that would like to speak on items related to today's agenda?
Mr. Mayor.
Clerk Dawson.
She's headed there, yep.
Hi, my name is Beverly Richardson, and I want to speak to item E, the Mental Health Trust Lot 37 on Blind Slough. Hopefully my comments are somewhat succinct. They're not as well put together as I would like, but it's just been a last minute issue. I woke this morning to a news report on KFSK of the council was entertaining using monies that were donated by Andy Matteson or in his name that were donated for a completely different specific project and was going to be using these to purchase a parcel for sale out at Blind Slough by the Mental Trust. I understand the Matteson family has agreed to this. So I became lost in memories from long ago. Andy Matteson was a good friend of mine for many years. And thinking this over, I felt I could not help but comment. To get directly to the point, I recall countless hours and countless times over the years, Andy spoke to wanting to guarantee access to the beach that was in front of his house on Front Street so that folks, young children in particular, and especially those who did not have an opportunity to fish elsewhere, could come there to fish. They could easily walk there from town. There were always folks fishing there along the tidelands, dollies, whatever was passing by or going up the creek by Andy's house. It was his dream, and as was also providing handicap access to fish along the slough that passed beside the Sons of Norway here. To this end, on July 26, 2006, he conveyed two tideland parcels that were in front of his house on Front Street along the Narrows to the city. Quote, upon the express conditions that the lands conferred in this deed shall be perpetually used and maintained for public park or recreation uses. These tidelands are on the narrow side of the road from about the Matteson warehouse south to PFI. The deed further states that if the land shall fail to be used for park purposes, then Andy Mathiesen, his heirs, grantee, or assignees shall be entitled to request to have said lands conveyed to them. As I understand it, the Mathiesen family has agreed to the change in the use of these funds, currently valued at a little less than $100,000, that had been likewise donated to the city to improve access and use of the area that Andy had donated. They've agreed to change it so that they can be used for the sale at the lot out at Blind Slough. I know that Andy also loved Blind Slough and the fishing there, so I can see some value in that. But the big elephant in the room is that further the lease says that by, or no, the Mathiesen family has said that they will, are in agreement to changing the use of these funds if the land, the tidelands, come back to them. And there is a contingency in the will that it was given with a caveat that the earlier donated tidelands along Front Street be reconveyed to the Mathiesen family. Repurposing these funds would indicate the city had no intent to use the said tideland parcels for the intended purpose. That's in the lease, that if the tidelands aren't used for those purposes, then the family can ask to have those properties back. I think that these lands back into private hands would just be plain awful, for lack of a better word. First, from a personal point of view, it would go against Andy's very deeply held and obvious wishes. I've heard comments that it was too expensive to develop a fishing park in the area and that it would far exceed the approximate $100,000 donated. However, grants are available for ADA access, and donated funds could be used to improve and assure access to the area and assure the wishes of Andy Mathiesen to provide accessible fishing to the masses be honored. Secondly, from a land use perspective, it would put the tidelands along Front Street into private developable hands. The city has for many years made attempts to acquire private tidelands. It would be incompatible with current city planning objectives to have these parcels go back into private ownership. So I just wanted everyone to be aware of those facts. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you for your testimony today. Is there anyone else in the room with views related to today's agenda? I can't see anybody. Clerk Thompson, is there anyone else standing up?
There is not. Oh, gosh darn it. There is not.
And nobody zooming in?
Nobody zooming in.
Okay. We'll move on to item 8 on the agenda. Persons to be heard unrelated to items on today's agenda. Okay, step to the podium. State your name, who you represent, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. My name is Eric Castro. I'm the Petersburg Ranger District fish biologist, and currently I'm acting district ranger right now. So I'll be speaking on that capacity. Right now I'm given a set of key points directed to us from the forest leadership, and I'll go over those. So right now we're working on a forest plan revision to meet the updated requirements of the agency's planning regulations. This will also give us the opportunity to make the plan more user-friendly. Collaborating with tribes, partners, and other government agencies and the public throughout this revision is essential to producing a final document, carefully balancing multiple uses across the Tongass. We want to hear from all the voices and understand folks' diverse perspectives taken from multiple communities. We're going to make a plan that creates, protects resources, supports sustainable economies and communities, and maintains those healthy ecosystems. Public values and feedback shared through the recent SAS-FM public engagement process is informing the forest revision plan. We ask that those who took part in the SAS-FM public engagement continue to offer input and perspectives during this revision. We will begin tribal consultations this winter and public engagement in 2024, and we expect a final record of decision 2027. For folks who are unaware of what the forest plan is, this sets the overall management direction for national forests. So a forest plan is like a city zoning plan, which helps guide future land management in the same way the city designates where and how future developments is allowed. The forest plan covers air, water, and soil quality, climate change, recreational settings, transportation corridors, wilderness, economic factors, and more. So if you have any more information that you're seeking, we have more of that is available from the forest. Regarding here more locally, so the Thomas Bay Young Growth Sale, the review of the EA is ongoing. That's environmental assessment, with a public 45-day objection period ending November 13th. Additionally, the Portage Bay to 12-mile decked logs are to be advertised for sale next week, and that'll be a 30-day advertisement. There's already a number of potential bidders for that. Secondly, see, we have the Secure Rural Schools Act. We're looking for proposals for the SRS RAC projects for next year, and the RAC's being finalized, hopes to meet next spring. There's a current partnership coordinator going through the interview process right now, so that will be an essential role to fill so that we can get some of these RAC projects completed. Additionally, so locally down, for folks who may not be aware, the Tonka Road system has a couple blowouts. There's been a couple washouts of culverts that have been getting washed away. There's one at 12 Mile, which was initially being investigated, and then 3 weeks ago, one happened at about 7.5 Mile. That's a fish stream. So right now, the thought on that is that we may have to, the ranger doesn't want to have to close any sort of roads. We're going to go through all efforts we can in order to be able to keep these roads open. The only reason they would do so is to limit access for safety purposes. Right now, the roads are accessible, but as chances stand, since we're not going to be able to do any of this work until next spring or summer, that there could be a loss of access out that way. So that's going to be something that we're going to be looking into. There's a chance of, if we do the work next spring at 7.5 Mile, maybe constructing a ford. So we're going to kind of pull back the sides of the road prism and then put in some grade 6 flat rocks down on the bottom of that to be able to allow fish passage up and then road access past. So that is going to be it's a temporary proposal right now our engineering department has. Additionally, cabins and trails, we're planning to move forward with the cabin work. The draft decision notice is out for a 45-day objection period ending December 1st, and those are for 2 cabins on Mitkoff Island and 1 cabin along the Cake Access Road. The Cathedral Falls Trail on Kuprinoff, close to Cake, was completed recently. And finally, the Petersburg Lake Trail. I'm here right now with Tyler Shaw, who is the trails lead for this cabin, for this trail project, and is the Vice Paul Olson, and is here to give a quick little update about that.
So yeah, on the Petersburg Lake project, after this year, we had started out with just general maintenance, clearing out and brushing out the trail from the top side of the cabin, working down. We made it down about 4 miles with the cutout. And then after that, we initiated putting in features, punch-in features, which are just planking with logs that are buried in boggy areas for ease of access. And we installed about 470 feet of that. And also did some mitigation measures in some areas with water sources that are compromising the trail, and we centralized those for also ease of access. And next year, some goals that we have is continuing the cutout on the lower side and also documenting and using more data to kind of convey to the public kind of what our goals and missions are and what we have achieved. And we also plan on getting more interns, SCA interns, and utilizing them and kind of tackling more of the farther down the trail on the bottom side and where we had left off from last year. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you for your update. Mr. Casper, are you...
Mark, you're glitching just a little bit.
Mr. Castro, are you complete with your report, or do you still have more to give?
End of report, sir.
Okay, thank you. So this was basically the report you were going to give under other officers, or is there more to this, or was this your report?
This was the report.
Okay, thank you very much for giving us all that information.
You're welcome. Thank you for the time.
Yep. Okay, is there anyone else with items unrelated to today's agenda that they'd like to talk about? Now's your time. Okay.
Hi, everyone. Hi to the assembly and Mr. Mayor. My name is Eve Frederick. I work at BBC. Can you hear me okay? Okay. I work at BBC on the project. I work at BBC. I'm on the project Outlast that's filming in Little Duncan Bay. I just wanted to share that we're actually going to be done filming earlier than planned. So we should be done with cleanup and everything by this Saturday, November the 11th. I also just wanted to share my thanks to the incredible thanks to the community of Petersburg for hosting us. And also especially thankful to all the local businesses that have worked with us along the way. As a Norwegian myself, I've also felt really at home here. So I just wanted to say a huge thank you, and hopefully we will be out of your hair very soon. Any questions?
Okay, thank you for your effort. Is there anyone else in the audience with views on your list?
I see no one else, Mayor Jensen, but we're losing you a little bit here and there.
Anybody? So for gets to
Mayor, Darn it. You are frozen on the screen and we can't understand anything you're saying.
Why Starlink?
Okay, I guess I'll turn the meeting over to
the vice mayor, chair of the meeting if need be.
He's calling me. Here we go. Hey, Mark.
Can you hear me? I'll text you.
Will do. Okay.
Yeah, you can.
Thank you.
If this connection is not adequate. So I guess I'll be signing up.
Okay, Vice Mayor Lynn, you're up.
Let's see if we can make this a little quicker. I don't know. Was there anybody on the line related to a person to be heard on related?
There is not.
There isn't. So I will move on. There's nothing on the board commission committee reports. On the consent agenda, we have two items, and I think best here, I'll take one at a time. The first item is the Trees liquor license transfer. The Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office has received two liquor license transfers of ownership application from the Trees RV LLC to the Trees LLC, and then to the Trees LLC to PAH LLC. The assembly may support or protest the applications. The protest may not be arbitrary, capricious, or unreasonable. I'm looking for a motion to approve the change of these liquor licenses.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Stanton Greger and seconded by Member Marsh. And I'll just take a voice vote. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, it passed unanimously. And with that, I'll move on to the second item on the consent agenda. The second item is acceptance of a grant in the amount of $50,199 from the Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. This grant provides funding for the purchase and installation of an antenna with repeater, two base stations, 20 portable radios, and the fees for FFCC licensing of the school district's own frequency. This grant was not budgeted for in the fiscal year 24 adopted budget, and if approved, will be placed in the next supplemental budget, which will be presented at a later date. I will entertain a motion to accept that grant.
So moved.
Second.
It's been a motion by Member Morris, seconded by Member Stanton Gregor. All those in favor, say yes.
Aye.
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 Okay, thank you. With that, we'll move on. The next item on the agenda is report of other officers. Under that, we have several items. One have already been taken care of, but the first one is the Petersburg Medical Center, and PMC CEO Hofstetter will provide an update on the medical center activities. Mr. Hofstetter.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Thank you. Phil Hofstetter, CEO of Petersburg Medical Center. I submitted my standard report just to provide some highlights from the last month. We received the $20 million from the Treasury funding towards the work building, which is part of the new facility. And we did receive approval with our environmental, the NEPA study through HRSA. So we have been able to work on getting those funds released to get to the next phase of the project, which is site preparation. So we're working with our contractor and getting a schedule together so we can get our site prepared, which you'll see some activities here in the next month or so, provided the weather cooperates. A few things here this week coming up, I believe on, was it Wednesday or Thursday, where Representative Hemschut is coming in and we're going to provide a tour of our facility. We're going to meet with her during her visit, so we'll look forward to that. We're also evaluating and looking at a schedule for a groundbreaking ceremony for our new facility. We don't have a date yet, obviously, but we're waiting for some of our work from the contractor before we schedule that. So we're looking forward to that as well. We had our manager retreat last month. We do this annually, and looking at our strategic plan, setting some of the goals and initiatives for the next year. So as well received, I want to thank Steve and Member Lynn for coming to that report out for the luncheon that we had during that event. I also want to get on your radar for the next couple of months, possibly after the new year, for a work session. We have to require to do that annually. We had one earlier this year in February. It's a good opportunity to sit down and with the hospital board and the assembly to discuss our strategic initiatives for the next year. Obviously, there's a lot of movement with the new facility, so we can talk through that. And I think those are the highlights for me. Where our finances are slowly recovering, which is good. Some good news there. Still going to be from the operational side. It's going to take some time to recover from the last few years. Any questions on my report?
Member Marsh.
Thank you. So do you, with the receipt of the $20 million, what is your projected timeline to receive the next portion of grant funding for this new project?
Yeah, so the next phase this would be a phase where we get the site prepared. We have the HRSA funding of $8 million plus the $20 million would be $28 million. And that will get us the wellness building. And then next remaining is working on the CAPSIS, which is the state capital budget, and getting an updated amount for the next phase, which would be somewhere in the order of $37 million for this to get and push towards the state to provide some funding towards this phase. I also would think about contacting the governor's office for, they have a separate budget. I don't know the process for that here through the assembly, but it's something that Steve had brought up at our manager retreat as an option. And we reached out to the governor, provided the information as well to their office. So as we build out the updated budget plan, we want to be able to capture that through our CAPSIS system, but also through the governor budget, the governor's budget, if possible. We are also working with the USDA. So the USDA has a grant program called, it's a direct loan program for hospitals. It's the only one that's out. It's a low interest program. And, you know, we're able to, it's sort of a last resort concept, because it is more of a financing kind of program as opposed to a direct grant. But working with them, getting that approval process will help us, position us in a way to get some financing if the requirement comes down where that's needed. So those are sort of the goals for the next phase of our project. It's very important that the community advocate for that to the state, reach out to your representative, both on the representative and the Senate side, to make sure that we can receive some funding. And then lastly, through Senator Murkowski's appropriations, we were able to see if we can lobby for some funding on that side as well. And that's gonna help with setting the priorities through the borough.
Mm-hmm. Other questions for Mr. Hofstetter? Mark, were you, did you have a question?
No, I didn't, but I was hoping I could still participate with limited access without chairing the meeting. It wasn't very productive to chair the meeting. I'd like to be involved in the rest of the meeting, if that's acceptable with the rest of the assembly.
Of course.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we've got you.
I don't know what was going on there before. All right, thanks. I'll mute. No questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hofstetter.
All right.
Okay. With that, moving on, with the Acting District Ranger Castro already gave us his report. I'll move on to the Human Resources section of report under officers. Our deputy clerk, Regula, will give a report on the borough's progress addressing recommendations from the APEI review. Becky, you have the floor.
Thank you, Bob. I'm Becky Regula. I'm the human resources officer and deputy clerk for the borough. And I'd like to update the assembly on the tasks that we've completed that were recommended by APEI. They were here in August and produced a report in September. For us and for the assembly. So the first all-department borough safety committee meeting was held on October 24th, and each department has posted a list of their committee members in their departments and their contact information, phone number, email, and all employees are encouraged to contact any member on that list with any concerns or ideas they have for the safety committee. The safety committee meetings will be held on the third Tuesday of each month, and a member of the safety committee will provide a monthly report to the assembly beginning with the December meeting. ADA training is in progress for all department heads, and we've established a formal orientation program for new employees as part of the new hire process with human resources. The orientation program for new supervisors and department heads is also in effect. The crisis response contact has been set up through APEI, and the library has started doing background checks on all of their volunteers. That's all I have for today. Do any of you have questions for me?
Questions from the assembly?
Yes.
Okay, hearing none, thank you. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Would there be a way that the public could find the names of this committee or the chair if a member of the public wants to reach out to someone?
Sure, yeah, I think we can post something on our website with that. They could contact me directly as well. My phone number is 772-5404, but that's a great idea. We can do that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Other questions? Hearing none, Thank you. Moving on then, the next item on the agenda is the mayor's report, and if I can find it here, I will read it real quick.
Page 27. Page 27.
A couple items on there. A letter of interest. The Petersburg Borough is accepting letters from citizens who wish to serve the community as board member on the Southeast Alaska Power Agency for calendar year 24. Petersburg has two voting seats on the SEPA board for calendar year 24. The assembly will appoint two voting members and two alternates to the SEPA board. Letters of interest should be submitted to Clerk Thompson at the borough office located at 12 South Nordic Drive by sending the to P.O. Box 329, Petersburg, AK 99833, or by emailing to dthompson at petersburgak.gov. The deadline for letters of interest is Monday, November 13th, 2023. The assembly will make appointments at their November 20th, 2023 meeting. And with that, I'll move on to the manager's report. Mr. Griesbeck.
Thank you, sir. The water staff recently completed work with Nomad Diving to clean the interior of our 2 million gallon water storage tank. This happens to happen on occasion. Carl's working on the land procurement process, loan increase, and process to hire a company to complete controls for the Pump Station 4 project. Planning and zoning will consider three issues related to the project at their November meeting. Thanks to Public Works for recent efforts to correct a settled sewer service in the highway right-of-way out at Rock and Road shop site. Our power and light mechanic recently spent valuable time at the Crystal Lake Dam to winterize the facility and ready the pump back system for use after the penstock is filled. The Blind Slough Hydro project continues to march towards completion. The powerhouse equipment is installed, and the electrician is working to run wire and make all connections needed. The contractor has completed the penstock installation and completed all the thrust block concrete pours. The powerhouse bypass system is being completed this week, and a major effort to flush and pressure test the penstock will occur soon. Our commissioning processes are scheduled to start on November 9th. All parties are working to have the facility start up and commissioning completed and the facility online by December 13th. With the Blind Slough Hydro project getting closer to completion and wastewater starting the Pump Station 4 project, our project budgets will need to be adjusted. Both capital project funds will need budget changes. The utility director is sorting out the increases needed and will work with finance director to include them in our next supplemental budget ordinance. Both projects are waiting for major funding processes to complete, with the Department of Energy grant still undetermined for Blind Slough and an ADEC loan increase application still in the development for Pump Station 4 project. So large transfers from the department reserves will be needed. There's a new art installation in the garden in front of the library. Roughly 100 salmon-shaped pieces of colorfully painted plywood now hang from a wave-inspired rebar structure. Joseph Quitzlin created the rebar structure in high school CAD class, cut the salmon. In this summer, Pia Riley and Kari Peterson helped community members paint the fish. The project was funded by the Alaska Community Foundation's Healthy Communities Grant. Just a big thank you to everyone that participated in helping create this beautiful public art piece, celebrating the important role salmon plays in all aspects of our community. Department of Environmental Conservation conducted a pool inspection here in Petersburg, actually the first in 4 years. Parks and Rec passed with not a single issue. Way to go to the Parks and Rec staff. With Viking Swim Club hosting the November rain on November 10th through the 12th, please anticipate pool closures. This will be posted around the facility on Facebook and on the website. Construction for the sewer line project at the community gym has finished. We're still working on some plumbing fixture issues, so please continue to be patient, but otherwise back to normal on scheduling. Petersburg and Wrangell Parks and Rec will be hosting our All-Stars basketball tournaments again this year. More to come for all the youth basketball 4th through 6th grade families as we get closer. We're still working with Hughes to fix some of the minor issues that have cropped up on the new fire engine. We're hoping that everything is resolved by December and Engine 2 can finally be ready for service. Engine 5 has been drained and is starting to be decommissioned, and the city of Hyder has recently recommissioned its fire department and is interested in obtaining Engine 5, and we'll work with them to set them up. Josh and Aaron are working on a proposal to start paying volunteers potentially in the next fiscal year for EMS. We are seeing increases in response time due to a lack of volunteers, particularly in the late evening. We also may look at some grant funding that may pay for another full-time EMS employee. This is real preliminary at this point. We haven't seen the proposal, but it's getting more and more where our response time is not as good as we'd like it to be, as we have fewer and fewer EMS volunteers, and something we're going to have to deal with. There are 5 volunteers in the emergency, the ETT class, and 4 ETTs signed up to take future EMT bridge course in January. We also have the Capital City Fire and Rescue's EMSO officer, Andrew Andrew, coming to Petersburg to teach an EMT 2 course to our EMT 1s. This will allow them to provide higher levels of care if needed, and we cannot thank Capital City Fire and Rescue enough for working with us. Unfortunately, we had to cancel the junior firefighters program here in Petersburg due to a lack of interest. We had no applicants that wanted to do it. William Bergman, who joined the Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department on November 2nd, 1973, has just celebrated his 50th year in the department. If you see him around town, make sure to thank him for his commitment to the city and the borough of Petersburg. Aaron completed the requirements to be an ETT EMT 1 instructor. We can now help Josh run classes or run additional classes if needed. Aaron gave a presentation to the 7th grade science class on tsunamis and earthquakes and on emergency preparedness. The kids later looked at some of our emergency shelter equipment and at the Petersburg siren warning system on a guided field trip. The Striker systems bought with ARPA funding have been installed on the ambulances. These systems take the full weight of the patient and reduce the strain on volunteer staff when moving a patient in and out of the ambulance. A big thanks to the Assembly and the federal government for helping in purchasing these. Derek is working with several of our residents on issues such as transition to long-term care and special appointments in Juneau. Halloween was wonderful for the residents up at assisted living, and planning is underway for Thanksgiving. We are still working on paperwork for the state inspection for the Manor facility. We also had our annual fire inspection and are waiting with those results. And we continue to be short of personnel in assisted living. Derek is filling in as needed, kind of like what we're doing in EMS. So, yeah, that's it.
Okay. Questions from the Assembly? The manager? Okay. I just have one for you, Steve. Have we heard anything back on the grant that we've applied for related to for a blind slough, which would offset some of our costs?
That's the Department of Energy grant I mentioned kind of in speaking. So we're still waiting to hear. We've had our federal lobbyist work with our delegation to write letters saying, hey, it's help us out here. But it is not, they have not finalized. We keep calling and they keep saying it's in the process as far as evaluation. So
we have no idea when we might get.
No. It's one of the reasons we're a little concerned about having to pull money from reserves, is because if that comes through, that solves that problem.
Yes. That was the reason from the question. Thank you.
Carl, did I get all that right?
Member Forbes?
Well, I'm just curious too, has there been an increase, maybe Aaron can answer this, in the emergency calls that we've seen over the last 2 or 3 years, the demand for?
Right now we're sitting at about 240 calls, or roughly. I don't have that number immediately at hand, but somewhere about there. Last year we had about 203 EMS calls, so we're up 40 this year, and we're slated to, our estimates are about, we're going to land somewhere on 260, 280 if trends continue.
Yeah, it's good information.
Thank you. Any other questions from the Assembly? Seeing none here, we'll move on here. I'll move to unfinished business. Under unfinished business, we have one item. Ordinance 2023-14, an ordinance amending the official zoning map for Service Area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to rezone lot GL 14, section 33, Township 58 South, Range 79 East, Copper River Meridian, parcel 101010-600, from public use to single-family mobile home with conditions. This is the third and final reading. If approved, In three readings, ordinance 2023-14 will rezone lot GL14, owned by the Skylark Park LLC, from public use to single-family mobile home. Skylark Park LLC applied for the zoning amendment, stating the intended use for the property is to subdivide the parcel into lots for placement of stick-built or manufactured home. The Planning Commission recommends the rezone request be approved. Ordinance 2023-14 was amended in the second reading to add conditions to the rezone that would specify only one family or two family dwellings and newly constructed manufactured homes are permitted uses on lot GL14, and to define the term manufactured home. The Assembly unanimously approved Ordinance 2023-14 as amended in the second reading. Do I have a motion to rezone this so lot? Moved.
Second.
Okay. So moved. It's been moved by Mayor Mark here and then seconded by Member Stanton Greger. Comments or questions? Member Marsh.
Thank you. So it says that in the description of this proposed ordinance, the rezoning states the intended use for the property is subdivide the parcel into 75 by 100-foot lots. My question is, are we shooting for a 7,500-square-foot lot of any configuration? Can we have a 50-foot by 150-foot lot? Or is it going to be the 75 by 100? And I don't know if anybody in the Assembly has that information. I don't see either Amber or Sig here. And maybe that was a question that could have been asked earlier, but I just discovered that as an option and doing a little crunching, we could have theoretically some very narrow lots.
Liz, can you address that question?
Sure. Through the vice mayor, is it? Member Marsh. So for single family mobile home, we have lot standards in that zoning district, and the minimum lot size is 7,500 square feet. In addition to that, there's a lot frontage minimum, and that's the part of the lot that has to go against a road, and that's 75 feet. So it wouldn't be acceptable to have like a 50-foot lot, you know, long skinny lot. You know, the only way that could happen is if the Planning Commission granted platting variance, because that would violate the standard of the lot for that zoning district.
Thank you. It does.
Other questions from the Assembly? Seeing none, would the clerk please call the roll on the third reading of to a rezone? Thank you.
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. And that passes unanimously the Assembly on the third reading. I'll move now to new business. Under new business, we have Resolution 2023-13A, a resolution authorizing the borough manager to apply to the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation for a loan from the Alaska Clean Water Fund for the design and construction of Pump Station 4 Forest Main Project. Resolution 2023-13A is amended version of Resolution 2023-13, which allows the borough to apply for a loan increase from ADC for the Pump Station 4 Forest Main Project and was approved by the Assembly on October 9, 2023. This amended version references the amount of overall indebtedness to the Water and Wastewater Fund that was approved by the voters with Proposition Number 1 at the 2019 municipal election, up to $8 million. Do I have a motion to consider the authorization of this resolution?
So moved. Okay.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Member Stan Graver, seconded by Member Marsh. Questions? No questions. Would the clerk please call the roll on the resolution?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Resolution 2023-13A passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda was Resolution 2023-14, a resolution in support of Southeast Alaska Power Agency's Southeast Alaska Grid Resiliency Project, including installation of a third turbine and generator at the Tai'i Hydroelectric Facility. Adoption of Resolution 2023-14 will affirm the borough's support of SEPA's efforts to enhance hydroelectric generation and electrical grid resiliency in our region. Do I have a motion to approve this resolution?
So move.
Second.
Moved by Member Moore, seconded. And with that, questions from the assembly.
I just have one question, Mayor Lynn. So if this goes forward, and I'm assuming it'll be a fairly expensive project, is it forecast to raise SEPA rates for the three member utilities? Do we have an answer for that at all, or are we just approving them to go ahead and start researching the project and get costs associated at that time?
Good question. A little background on this. At the last board meeting, the SEPA board unanimously approved the pursuit of installing a third turbine at Tai'i, that being the least cost of alternative of providing more power for the three communities. With that, there still has to be a design. There's a significant amount of work to be done. It could be, we don't even have a cost estimate yet, but one of the costs, I believe, was about $20 million to do this project. And we're looking at least 5 to 8 years out. What this particular resolution does is that the SEPA CEO has found some opportunities for grants. And what this does is that SEPA board agreed to apply for the grants, which would, if we got those, would help significantly alleviate the costs, you know, that would might go to the ratepayers. So at this point, what it is that right now there's no increase in cost. And I wouldn't know the answer to that until we get the full design construction done. But this, if we got this particular grant that's being applied for, it provides, and I don't remember the exact amount, maybe Carl does, but I think it was $5 or $8 million. I just don't remember off the top of my head. And that would provide for the design and everything up to the point of actual construction. Thank you.
Thanks for that answer.
With that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Yes. Rob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Okay. And that resolution 2023-14 passes unanimously. Item C, resolution 2023-15. A resolution in support of raising the maximum available Alaska Department of Transportation Harbor Facility Grant to $7,500,000 for eligible projects on an annual basis. If adopted, resolution 2023-15 will show the borough's support for Governor Dunleavy and the Alaska Legislature to amend Alaska Statute 29.60.800 to raise the maximum Harbor Facility Grant Fund award from $5 million to $7.5 million per eligible project to account for inflation since 2006. Do I have a motion to approve this resolution?
So move.
Okay. I will take one of those as a second by Member Marsh and Mayor Jensen. Questions?
I do.
Okay. Member Marsh.
Thank you. I wonder if it might be possible to elaborate what some of these grant awards, this grant funding might fund. I did send an email to GLOW asking if she might do that. I don't know if that's possible through the Vice Mayor.
If you would like to move to Harbor Master to address that question,
sure.
Please.
Through the Vice Mayor, appreciate the opportunity to comment. So the DOT got out of the harbor business back in 2006 and gave over ownership to all the harbors across the state. And with that came a huge responsibility when it came to replacing and maintaining these facilities. The state said, don't worry, we're going to provide an avenue through the Municipal Harbor Match Grant where you could, as a municipality, show up with, say, theoretically 50% of a project and get the state would, through a tiered system, evaluate, go over the process or the project, and award you up to $5 million. So you could walk away with, you know, $10 million and go after a sizable project. Well, it's 2023 and things have changed, and we did, this conversation came up at the Harbor Masters Conference this fall. And so as a group of Harbor Masters, we got together and said we should look at what that same $5 million would buy you at today's prices. And it came out at 7.5. So that's what we're after. We're trying to get this grant to recognize the costs of the day and age we're in. That being said, again, it's one, I think, one of the best grants out there, and it gives skin in the game so that the communities that are going after this money have to put up essentially as much money as they're asking for. In the past, we've used this grant for various projects. The most notable one was the replacement of the North Harbor. We showed up with $3.5 million. We were awarded $3.5 million, and we were able to go after building a $9.3 million North Harbor with those funds. Kind of on our horizon on the short list, we've been waiting for this dredge project to get done, but here in the short term, we're going to need to start replacing finger floats in our oldest harbor, which for most of us, we recognize the South Harbor as we call it the new harbor, but it is now our oldest harbor, built in the early 80s. There are fingers, though, that got drug over from the original middle harbor, so they're vintage 1970 fingers that do need replacement. So just to let you know what kind of costs we're dealing with, for four finger floats, back of the napkin is about $1.2 million. So with over 200 fingers in that South Harbor, I'll let you do the math. We desperately need this Municipal Harbor Match Grant. We come with a portion of the money, say this first project of $600,000-$700,000. Theoretically, we could get a match for that and move forward and replace portions of a bigger facility using this mechanism. So appreciate the support on this. Again, it's gonna be probably a struggle at the legislative arena, but we need them to realize that they do at the state level receive a lot of income versus when you start talking about fish tax and fuel tax. That's what funds this grant program. And so they have the money. We just need to up our game a little bit. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Does that answer your question? Yes. Okay. Other questions? Okay. Would the clerk please call the roll on this resolution 2023-15.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Thank you. So resolution 2023-15 passes unanimously. And with that, I'll move on to item D, Skylark Park LLC application to purchase borough land, lots 2, 3, 5, 5A, and 6. Skylark 2 subdivision and government lot 21, sections 33, township 58 south, range 79 east. Skylark Park LLC submitted an application to purchase 6 borough-owned lots between the Severson subdivision and Skylark Way for the purpose of developing a 10-plus acre major subdivision with roads and utilities in an effort to provide affordable housing options to Petersburg residents. The lots would need to be rezoned to allow for placement of stick-built or manufactured homes on the subdivision parcels. The Planning Commission held a public hearing regarding the application to purchase purchase on October 10, 2023, and recommended the Assembly approve the application to move forward in the process with the condition that the necessary rezone requests are also approved. Skylark Park LLC is requesting the Assembly authorize a direct sale of the property rather than offer the parcels for sale by competitive bidding or outcry auction. Borough Code Section 16.12.080E states that the Assembly shall determine whether an application shall move forward in the application process or be denied. If the application is moved forward, the Assembly shall schedule a public sale or exempt the application from public sale. If the application is exempted from public sale, the Assembly may authorize the Borough Manager to negotiate the sale with the applicant, the final terms of which are subject to approval by the Assembly. Do I have a motion to approve the sale of these properties?
So moved.
Second.
It's
moved by Member Fine-Wash, seconded by Member Schwartz. Discussion at this point. Member Fine-Wash.
Yeah, thank you, Vice Mayor. I just wanna quickly state that I really support this. For people listening, what we're talking about here is a large lot, kind of, I believe, behind the lot that we've been talking about at previous meetings, in addition to several lots located near where I understand the entrance to this subdivision would be coming off Odin, just to kind of clarify that. And I really support this. I think these are really important to the vision that Skylark LLC has for this subdivision, and I hope everyone supports it.
Thank you. Member Marsh.
I have some questions regarding the standard of roads. So if I understand the plan from Skylark Park and their documents that they've submitted, they will establish the roads and the utilities, but at some point turn them over to the borough, at which point it will become borough responsibility to maintain. My question is then, to what standard will these roads be constructed? And are they meeting the minimal borough standards for roads? I just would hate to have the borough inherit, if you will, roads that they have to spend a lot of money on to upgrade to handle the amount of traffic that might go across these.
Thank you. Liz, would you like to address the questions?
I actually think that's a Chris Cotta question, because the developers should be providing those plans to Public Works for review and acceptance, and then Public Works would be the one that would be finalizing and approving the roads, whether they would be accepted by the borough.
I'm sorry, did somebody ask me a direct question?
Yep. Yes. Chris, would you like to address the issue of roads in this no subdivision? What would it take for the borough to accept it? I believe that's part of the question.
Well, that would be, that'd be something we'd have to look at it, and if it was 100% to our specifications, then it would be a pretty easy matter to, basically just put that before the Assembly and recommend a dedication be accepted. However, in discussions with the contractor, I suspect they're going to present something that isn't 100% to our specifications, and so then we would have to review that and determine if if it was acceptable. I don't know that their plans include excavating out the entire base all the muskeg under the proposed road, you know, and backfilling it all with rock. I think their plans likely include excavating out to hardpan for the water and sewer, and then using that as the basis for the center of the roadway, and then floating the sides of the road, the shoulders of the road, if you will. That's, you know, it's not a bad way to construct a road, although it doesn't meet our specs, strictly speaking. So we would probably consult with the assembly on that and see if it was something that the assembly wanted to move forward with, you know, potentially accepting that as a dedication. Does that answer your question?
Through the mayor, Vice Mayor, thank you. In my mind, it puts the borough at a disadvantage not knowing that beforehand if we go ahead and approve the sale. I like the idea of what they are wanting to do on many levels, but I do have some concerns about what the borough is going to have to incur in cost, manpower, time, et cetera, to get the either the road and or utilities up to the specs that would assure the greatest longevity and the least amount of maintenance that that would maintain these properly.
Yeah, and you know, it probably would be helpful if they were here to speak about this. I hope I'm not misrepresenting any of their intentions. This, what I'm relating to you is basically what came up in my conversations with Sig and Amber the other day about their possible plans for the development.
Thank you. Any other questions on that, Member Marsh? Okay, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Clerk, but we what you would bring forward to us at the next meeting would be a resolution that would talk about a number of items, including the one that Member Marsh brought up, if we would make a decision or if the assembly would make a decision on what they want as standards, or if any other restrictions we wanted to put on it or what we wanted to do. Am I correct about that?
Yes, so right today you just decide whether this application will move forward and how it will move forward, whether it be by public sale or direct negotiation. And then, for instance, if you want to put restrictions or whatever you would call them, rules on the purchase application, you would then say, we would like all roads and utilities built to borough standards, or, you know, whatever it is that the assembly requires. For instance, if that lot is rezoned to single family mobile home as the lot that you guys just passed in the third reading that they already own was, you may want to put the same restrictions about the manufactured homes and things that you did on the other ordinance moving forward. So any of those kinds of rules isn't the right word, but whatever it is that the assembly wants to see will go on the resolution that will authorize the manager to, you know, if it's a direct sale, to negotiate, blah, blah, blah. And then that will also, yes, it'll go forward. It'll be a covenant or whatever it is that they are called.
And are there any particular items that you would like to see us address to be put into that resolution?
Me?
Yes, I'm asking a question.
Through the Vice Mayor, just in general.
Yeah.
So today it's saying the application will go forward or not, and setting the type of sale you want it to be. The next step is this resolution that, in my opinion, and should happen with some conversations between Liz, Chris, and the builder here to find out exactly what they want to do. And that resolution should end up including that kind of information. So the roads are going to be built, this is how they're going to be built. The utilities are going to be built, this is how they're going to be built. And the definitions that Clerk Thompson talked about, All of that should occur in the resolution, you know, up front, it, the next time this comes back in front of the assembly. And again, in conjunction with working with the contractor, so we're not putting words in their mouth and they're not, you know, we're not assuming things that they're not comfortable doing. I think that solves the problem is, and is having a resolution like that that outlines all of those things for the assembly at the next meeting. Hopefully at the next meeting, maybe it may take more time than that even, so that the assembly knows exactly what you're voting for when you say, okay, now we're ready for the next step, which is, you know, arranging for the sale. Part of that resolution needs to be how you want that sale process to work. You know, direct sale today or you know, outcry auction is what you have to vote on. But if you want direct sale, you can do that. You can say that today. That's in our ordinance. But if you want the lot sold for less than assessed value to the contractor, we can't do that. So that would be a whole new ordinance would have to be changed. So that's something that the assembly is going to have to think about. I can't sell those lots. I don't have the authority. Actually, neither do you, to sell them at less than assessed value the way the ordinance is currently written. So that may be another part of this, is that we have to rewrite that ordinance if that's what the assembly wants. And that would have to be on the next agenda as an action item for you guys to vote on. So that may slow this process down a little bit.
And would take three readings.
Sounds like it's somewhat complex.
And you can't vote on that today. I should have said that.
Somewhat clearly. Complex. Yeah. Member Stanton Grager, I believe, had his hand up.
You bet. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. To the point of the two topics at hand today, I think a direct sale is appropriate. They have a compelling ask for why, for the obvious reasons of wanting to expand that subdivision there. I don't think an outcry auction is necessary. I am not worried about it setting a precedent. We have done direct sales in the past, both on a commercial scale, and I believe we had a small one on Second Street several years ago to a lot owner. Is that correct, Clerk Thompson, Second Street?
Yes, it is.
Not that it's super relevant, but it's not new to, for the assembly to approve.
Actually, it might have been Third Street, but yes.
Roger. Somewhere in that vicinity. Yes. To a private citizen, non-commercial interest.
Correct.
And I think that's important. And I also think it's prudent for us to authorize the borough manager to negotiate this sale with the applicant, the other part of it. This is as Member Fine Walsh said, this is a good step moving forward. It's a good project. Anyone who lives here knows that housing has been a crunch for quite some time, has been discussed in coffee shops and on an assembly level for quite some time, and this is a good step moving that direction. I will definitely be voting yes on those things.
Is that in form of a motion?
I thought we already made a motion on that.
Yeah, there is a motion.
Okay. So all right.
I have a question.
Mayor Jensen.
I have a question. So the way I read this, the way this resolution is written, to me, it just says we're going to move this process forward. And then, you know, Member Stan Greger just mentioned, you know, public sale and direct sale. Have the manager move forward, but are we at that point, Clerk Thompson, or are we just authorizing forward into the next forms of another resolution and then into a potential ordinance?
Okay, so we are at the point today where we need to decide how the sale will happen if you move the application forward in the process. You will need to decide whether it's direct sale or public sale, and if public sale, whether it's outcry auction or competitive bid. And then, once I know that information, I will bring a resolution before the assembly for approval.
Okay, so do we need a second to Member Stanton Greger's, basically an amendment or a motion? Or if we just pass this resolution as presented to us, will we automatically have this exempted from a public sale?
That was my question, because part of this was not in what I read and what the motion
was.
That's
true, I guess. If Assembly Member Stanton Greger would like to make an amendment to the original motion to make it a direct sale, then we would need a second yes.
That's what I would like to do, yes.
Second.
There's an amendment to it by Member Stanton Greger to do a direct sale, and it's been seconded by Member Schwartz. Comments, questions? Member Marsh.
Yes. I think direct sale is doing the borough and the community a disservice, whereas it has been alluded to that there was a piece on 3rd Street that was a small parcel. This is not a small parcel, nor is it a small project. Apparently, from my conversations with Liz and other people, there have not been a large number of people showing interest. However, I think the process needs to happen. So I think direct sale is extremely disadvantageous. I know also it was alluded to that the Wecon property was a direct sale negotiation, but that is still underway. And that, in my mind, was an entirely different ballgame because it has to do with leased property, and they're somewhere in the middle of the lease. So to me, that is a definite outlier as far as this is representative. So I think if we're going to do direct sales with a builder who is very capable of doing a project such as this to satisfy the housing crisis that theoretically might exist in this town, and I do have some problems with that delineation, but if we're going to do that, then we should be cutting deals for everybody who might want to buy some borough property. And had the process, had the acceptability of direct sale or the practice of direct sale been more common, perhaps we wouldn't be in a housing crisis because people would be able to buy property directly by just negotiating with the manager. So I think that is very disadvantageous to go that route. Selling it, to me, as I read the proposal, I guess we're on the amendment. So the amendment is the direct sale. I will vote against that for those reasons.
Thank you. Other comments? Okay, with that, I'll call the roll. I'll call roll on the amended motion.
Okay. Mark?
Yes.
Donna?
No.
Thomas?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Okay, the amended motion passes. It's five firm with Member Marsh opposing. With that, I will call, unless there's other questions from the Assembly, will we call roll now with the amended? On the amendment?
As amended.
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. Thank you. With that, passes with all folks in favor. Now, moving on to next item. I mean, I have to get myself organized here again. Mental Health Trust Lot 37 on Blind Slough. The Alaska Mental Health Trust Land Office is offering for sale South Mitkoff Lot 37 for a minimum bid of $102,500. The lot's front blind slough and is located in a popular recreation area for Petersburg residents and visitors. In 2008, the Andy Matthiessen Recreation, the family donated approximately $95,000 to the borough to be used towards a fishing park on the Rango Narrows by Eagles Roost Park. The project never progressed due to costs above and beyond the gifted funds. The Andy Matthiessen Fishing Park Investment Fund currently has a balance of $99,327.90, and the Matthiessen Estate is willing to use these funds to help purchase the Blind Slough property to ensure public access on Blind Slough is maintained. The Assembly is asked to determine whether or not borough should participate in the sealed bid land sale for the parcel. Do I have a motion to entertain that we, the sealed bid land sale, that we participate in the auction?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Stanton Greger, seconded by Member Feinwash. Discussion. Member Stanton Greger.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll lead it out since I asked this to be on there. Brief bit of context when I asked this to be on there. I had not heard Hannah Flores wonderful story on this topic on KFSK. It was very informative, but I put this on beforehand. For instance, I was unaware that the Mental Health Trust has many, many other waterfront lots in that same vicinity they intend to sell, as that is their mandate to gain funds. So it gave me pause whether, and so I still wanted to hear from the Assembly on this. As those lots as a standalone, I thought there was some value, and thank you to the Mathiesen family for being open to using some of that their money as a contributing piece to it. I could have seen that property been a very good fisherman's park, because the blind slough, blind rapids is such a huge subsistence and recreational use place in our borough that I was disappointed the Mental Health Trust wants to more or less turn that into a subdivision, which I know had been mentioned at the past meeting. You know, these things happen. These are private property owners, but this is a historic recreation and subsistence use. This has not historically been a residential area, which I still have heartache with. The naive part of me hopes that we could have that lot and then negotiate a land swap for the other one, since they are not slated for sale or they're not on as advertised. But I just really wanted to hear from the Assembly and their thoughts on this, because it's it impacts all of us. That's all.
Member Schwartz?
The area goes back to my great-grandfather hunting ducks up there at the Smickham Club, that whole area. My grandparents rowing up the Blind Slough. And I looked at Onyx Hunt, and up and down that slough is mental health land, all up and down it. And Andy Mathiesen's a blood relative of mine through the Roundtrees. And it's I talked to him a lot about right in front of his house. He had a coho release site there, and he would weep when he'd watch children, 12, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids, go down there and catch Dolly Varden and coho. And we were smoking fish, and he's like, "What? You know, I'm gonna die soon, not long for this world, and, you know, what's going to happen after I leave?" I don't know what he would have to say today about that. But all of these, what I would call, for us that have been around for generations, these honey holes that we've had for so long, they're disappearing. Where we used to hunt deer, now there's lodges bringing in guys from Wisconsin or wherever to go hunt. It's my lost wilderness. It's just part of the game. So, yeah, I understand. I'm glad you brought it up, Jay, because the emotional part, you know, our attachment to the land. We live here on this island for a reason. We're rural Alaskans for a reason. And everywhere we look, that's disappearing. You know, that's part of our culture. But I can't see spending Andy or anybody else's money, the borough's money, somebody else's money to purchase this land. And we buy it, and they've got 15 more lots they could sell. So that's where I stand on it.
Any member Fine Walsh?
Yeah, just real quick. I kind of want to echo the comments of Member Schwartz there. I recognize it's a really important and beautiful piece of land, but it seems to me that the Assembly shouldn't be spending public money to purchase it. And I do that, and that would be excellent. But as far as the, I don't believe that's the Assembly's role. Just want to say that. And it also strikes me as a little, I don't know if it's logistically complicated. I don't know if we'd have to set like a maximum bid or something and then maybe scrape together some money out of the budget to cover the difference, but then we could just be outbid, and it's a little cumbersome. Anyway.
Member Mayor Jensen, you had a question?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Member Fine Walsh and Member Schwartz that, you know, if you look at the plat, this is the piece of land that sticks farthest out into the slough, but on either side of it, and then particularly the two lots towards the trailhead where you come down into the rapids, you know, those are going to be for sale eventually too if you can't work a land swap with mental health. So at this point, I'm not in favor of the Assembly using the Mathiesen money. I appreciate Andy's thought when he donated that and the property to the borough. But yeah, I don't think we need to dig into our reserves to add on to it and, you know, come up with some kind of a amount to put in as a sealed bid. So that's my position on it.
Member Schwartz? Thank you. Member Marsh.
I also am opposed to spending any borough money. I appreciate the Matheson family willing to front some of the cost. However, I don't believe it's in the borough's best interest as well. Also, if some generations down the road, if the property were in borough hands, and maybe people not so connected with the area historically, their families, et cetera, and thought, wow, that's a great place to put a lodge run by the borough. We could bring in some additional revenue. I know that's kind of a far stretch at this point, but it doesn't take much to stretch in those different directions. So I think the borough needs to stay out of this.
Okay. Any other comments from the members? Would the clerk please call roll?
Donna?
No.
Rob?
No.
Thomas?
No.
Mark?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. Okay. The motion to bid on that property fails with a 4 no votes and 2 yes votes on that, with members Lynn and members Stanton Greger in favor. With that, I'm going to item F, request to negotiate purchase of a 50-foot public access easement on lot 37, 38, and 39, fronting Blind Slough. If approved, the Assembly will send the attached letter to the Alaska Department of Natural Resources to request the borough will be allowed to purchase from the Mental Health Trust land a 50-foot public access easement on lots 37, 38, and 39, the front Blind Slough, to ensure access along the Blind Slough shoreline. Do I have a motion to consider this?
So moved.
Letter. No second on that, so it fails for lack of a second vote. With that, I'm going to move on then to Petrel building acquisition status. The borough has been working with Petrel 49 since 2018 to acquire the old Union Oil building and property at 703 South Nordic Drive for use as a maintenance facility for our harbor department. The borough and Petrel 49 have also been working with ADC as a clear letter of conditions on the property is required before the borough follows through with the acquisition. The borough was recently informed that the process of receiving a clear letter of conditions on the property from ADC may not be completed for several more years. Manager Giesbrecht is requesting direction from the Assembly whether the borough should continue with the acquisition or look for other alternatives. With that, what are you looking for, just direction, or do you want a motion, or what are you thinking?
Think a motion.
Vice Mayor Lim.
Okay. Yep. With that.
Vice Mayor Lim.
Yes.
I would like to make a motion to stop the acquisition of this land, and I'll state my reasons if I get a second, and we move into the discussion phase.
Okay. Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second that for the sake of discussion.
Okay. It's been moved by Mayor Jensen to stop the acquisition and seconded by Member Stanton Greger. Mayor Jensen, you have the floor.
Well, when we started this discussion in 2018, I was opposed to the idea at that point. And one of the main reasons was what this tank farm used to be. It was a tank farm, and the building was old, hadn't been heated in years. So I stated my discomfort with this idea then. And since that time, we've decided, found out the building had mold in it, and we had to do some work on that. Maybe that's all been corrected. And then they did some sampling of the land. And this resolution states that it may be years before and if DEC even comes up with a clear bill of health on it. And if we would have not gone this route, I mean, I hate to go he said, she said, but start back 5 years ago, pre-pandemic, this big inflation, I agree the harbor needs some kind of a maintenance building. But we have lots of borough-owned property that's accessible to the water. Some of it right behind the community coal storage that has, you know, vehicles sitting on there that don't even pay rent, I don't think. So, I mean, we probably could have had a building built, you know, 3 years ago. And I don't know how much money we spent on people analyzing the land and attorney fees, talking, you know, with our attorney, talking to Petra's attorney. So I just think it's, you know, probably in our best interest and probably get something built for the harbor staff sooner if we stop this process and don't throw any more good money after bad. That's my position on it.
Member Stanton Gregor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Excuse me. Two people I'd like to hear from as I'm, you know, work out my own decision-making processes. One I'd like to, because I remember the discussions in 2018 when we opened the negotiations to purchase that. I'd like to hear from Harbor Master Wallen if you're up for it to see what your, since this is your wheelhouse, what you would, what you think at this point, and what you think is prudent, if that's okay.
Okay. Harbor Master.
Sure. Thank you to the mayor. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. It's I don't think the passion is there from Petro to to go through with this. I've talked to their FSO a couple times, or their financial person a couple times. I think they're willing to just let the project sit. I mean, it's just been mothballed for years now. We actually started on this probably over 10 years ago. It's going to be a lot more expensive. You know, really the trade is a trade in kind, and we'll end up losing $30,000 annually on a lease. That's where we were negotiating this plus $80,000. So it will take us many years if we move forward in building a facility, probably take it would have been a less expensive way to go. It'll be more expensive to build whatever we do. You know, we can talk about all sorts of locations, and I've done pricing. I've gotten quotes from all sorts of everything from metal buildings to, you know, utility costs from Carl at various locations and stuff. And so, yeah, we're going to be coming back to you with a fairly, probably a high price to pay. But bottom line is we have one of the biggest facilities owned by our borough sitting down there. And we maintenance it from the back room of the Harbor Shack. And seven AML vans located all over borough property. Two of which I have to replace because they're starting to rain down on brand new snow blowers and all sorts of stuff. So I got to move on with it. And I just don't see the passion there from Petro to, you know, either get out of their lease or portion of their lease. Currently, they lease about $70,000 from us, and this would be a $30,000 with the exchange, we would walk away from $30,000 annually. So anyway, yeah, I get it. It still would be the ideal location, and I think the least the cheapest route to go, because all the things that were of concern have been, those boxes have been checked. We've, you know, the mold isn't a big deal, the roof has been patched, what they were talking about testing was the fuel tank for the 200-gallon fuel tank for the office, which, you know, they pulled all the material out of there. Moving, ready to move on to something else. So,
thank you for that clarification. I appreciate it.
And I can add to it if
please.
So, a letter of conditions is what we were looking for from DEC. And what that does is says, this property is clear, you must do the following. In other words, giving us conditions that if we were to be own the building, here's what we would have to do. That's really what we've been working to get for the last 5 years. It's just a simple letter from DEC that would say, if you own it, this is what you can do. You can disturb the soil or you can't. You can, operate out of there or you can't. Unfortunately, DEC, like many of the state agencies, has been going through huge amounts of turnover, which has an impact. I know it sounds crazy, but we had to hire an environmental specialist because he had to teach the DEC people how to read their own regulations. And that's what's been going on probably the last year. He's the one who came back to us and said, I'm sorry, but based on how this is going, it's kind of a, they're afraid to make a decision and they're afraid to give us a letter of conditions that says the property's clear. And he says where it's headed is they're going to ask for monitoring wells on that property that would have to be maintained and for basically for a while. That's what made me write this up for the assembly is because it did not sound like this is something that's going to happen soon. Combination of things. I mean, it goes right. It's a great location. It would have worked out. Unfortunately, we just got hit with some, lack of cooperation from DEC. Not necessarily their fault. They just don't have the expertise anymore. And an issue that they're being very careful about. They're not going to let anybody move in there without all those things taken care of that they now see is necessary for some reason. So that's what's prompted this. And, goes right. They need a maintenance. And I think I asked her what cost, and we're talking, $350,000. It's a lot of money. But we've messed around with this for a lot of years now. We've got to get this squared away and get those folks a good maintenance location. I'm sad that it won't be the Petro, or can't be the Petro building without jumping through even more whole, things. But anyway, that's the back of the story here.
Other comments from assembly members? I'd like to chime in on that one. I like the mayor voted against this to begin with for a couple of different reasons. One is losing $30,000 in revenues, annual revenues. I thought that was a mistake. But more importantly is that I felt that, and I still believe that even with a letter of conditions where we talk about having to monitor that thing over the long term, we put the burden of the cost back on the ratepayers for the harbor, one. And two, is that I'm afraid that, and there's nothing we could do to change parts of that. So eventually I was afraid also that the costs were gonna go back to residents of Petersburg if we accepted that. So I also voted against it. And with that, would the clerk please call a roll on the motion that's on the table to not accept.
To stop acquisition.
Yeah.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Thank you.
That passes unanimously, not to continue working to acquire the Petro building. With that, we'll move on to the Housing Task Force. The Housing Task Force was created in October 2022, and Assemblymember Kensinger was appointed chair by the Assembly. The task force researching housing issues in Petersburg and facilitated a housing needs assessment performed by Agnew Beck. The housing needs assessment was finalized and shared with the Assembly in early October. Assemblymember Kensinger chose not to run for another term on the Assembly and left the Assembly seat on October 9, 2023. Mr. Kensinger requested that if the Assembly chooses to continue the Housing Task Force, he be allowed to continue to be a member of the task force and that the Assembly appoint a new Assembly member as chair. The Assembly should determine whether to continue or dissolve the Housing Task Force at this time. Do I have a motion to either continue or to dissolve that task force?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mayor Jensen.
I make a motion that we dissolve the Housing Task Force because, one, I think we can always start it back up. Two, they did a great job navigating through a process that got us some answers, I think. And, they could always be restarted. And I believe this was kind of the direction former Assemblymember Kensinger thought it could go and wouldn't affect you know, the progress of, you know, moving forward with the housing issue.
Thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
It's been seconded by Member Fine Walsh. Discussion? Okay, Member Fine Walsh.
Well, yeah, like I, like the mayor, I also really appreciate the work the Housing Task Force did. And I think, you know, getting the housing needs assessment shepherded through from Agnew and Beck was a huge accomplishment. You know, and I don't see anyone representing the Housing Task Force here at the meeting, so I'm assuming, you know, that things have kind of quieted down there. So I agree, maybe it is a good time to close it up for now, and if we need to do that again, we can look into it in the future.
Okay, thank you. Other comments from Assembly members? I'd like to, before we move on, I'm like the mayor, I'd like to thank the task force. They've done a wonderful job. And also, Member Kensinger really helped shepherd that. I thought he did an outstanding job on it. And with that, would the clerk please call the roll to dissolve the task force?
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. That next item is the election of vice mayor. Borough Charter Section 2.05B provides that no later than the first regular meeting of the assembly in November each year, the assembly shall elect from its membership a vice mayor. Do I have a motion to select a vice mayor for 2024?
Mr. Mayor, I would move that we appoint Bob Lynn as vice mayor for the upcoming year.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? Would the clerk please? Go ahead, Mayor Jensen.
Since I can make a motion now, I mean, I know we have to vote on the motion and discuss this on the floor. I would like to see Assemblymember Marsh as our vice mayor. I believe she's come a long way in the first year. She analyzes every situation closely, pretty clear when she's giving her positions on things. So that's my position. But now we have a motion on the floor to elect Member Lynn as our vice mayor. So I guess we'll go through that process.
Yes. Yeah. Would, unless there's other comments, would the clerk please call the roll?
And this is for Member Lynn as vice mayor?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
Rob?
No.
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Okay. Motion fails with a 3-3 vote. Is there another motion that somebody wants to make?
I would like Member Chair Lynn, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I would like to nominate Assemblymember Donna Marsh for vice mayor for the upcoming year.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Been moved by the mayor for Member Marsh and seconded by Member Schwartz. Discussion. Okay. With that, no discussion. Would the clerk please call the roll to make Member Marsh vice mayor?
Rob?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Donna?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Jay?
No.
With that, Member Marsh will be vice mayor then for 2024. Thank you. Okay, moving on, Assembly Member appointments to the boards. Mayor Jensen, with Assembly approval, will appoint Assembly members as representative liaisons to the Southeast Conference, Alaska Municipal League, Harbors and Ports Advisory Board, Hospital Board, Public Safety Advisory Board, Local Emergency Planning Commission, the Early Childhood Education Task Force, and the Housing Task Force. The 2023 Assembly appointment list is attached for reference. Mayor Jensen, do you want to make some motions?
Yeah, I believe there's a list attached with our agenda here, and I've got a copy that the clerk printed out for me before I came south. A couple things we do need to change is Southeast Conference. I would like to stay as the voting member of Southeast Conference and Alaska Municipal League, but for Southeast Conference, for instance, member Kinsinger in the past was our second assembly member. So I guess we'll have to ask if there's any assembly members that would like to take over his role. So that if I was making the appointments, that's what I would, you know, just say, but I'm not. So it's, since I'm not chairing the meeting, but and then Alaska Municipal League, myself and member Lynn can stay there, liaison to the Harbor Board with Scott Newman, and I believe he would still like that position. The liaison to the hospital board was Assembly Member Lynn. Liaison to the Public Safety Advisory Board would require another change. That was Member Jeff Mucci. And elected official to the Local Emergency Planning Committee, Assembly Member Jeff Mucci. So is there anybody in the room that would like to step up for either Emergency Planning Committee or Public Safety Advisory Board? At this point. And then we have to also appoint someone to the Early Childhood Task Force, I believe, Clerk Thompson, if I'm not mistaken, which is all still in effect.
Correct.
So any ideas? I mean, we could go down this road where member Newman's not there and we just appoint him to everything, but I don't think that would go over very well. So member Stanton Greger or Swartz or Marsh or member Fine Walsh, anybody interested in any of these? Member, I'm not chairing the meeting, member Lim?
Go ahead. Member Swartz.
Public Safety Advisory Board.
Okay. Okay. And member Marsh?
If member Fine Walsh doesn't, is no not interested in it, Local Emergency Planning Committee.
Okay. Member Fine Walsh?
Serve with the Southeast Alaska Conference, Southeast Conference.
I was going to say Harbor Board, but it appears that Member Newman is in that place, and I don't necessarily feel the need to put it to a vote, so that's fine.
Okay.
Well, Member Lynn, we have to have someone for the Early Childhood Task Force. Is there anyone in the room, do you think, that would be interested in that?
Is that the only Early Childhood Task Force? That was Member Tremblay, and she was to continue even after.
Yeah, she is still on the task force, but when she was no longer on the assembly, Member Mucci was appointed to be the assembly liaison.
Okay. Is there anybody that would like to take over that position?
I'd be fine with that.
Okay. Member Stan Greger will take that position. Okay, any other changes, or are we comfortable with keeping it otherwise as is?
Have we filled all the positions? I believe.
Yes, I think we did.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, I think I'm good with it.
Okay, and I don't think we need to vote on it. We'll just go with what we had. Okay, moving on. Assembly Alaska Municipal League 73rd Annual Local Conference. The annual AML conference is being held in Anchorage December 4th to the 8th, 2023. The assembly budgeted for Mayor Jensen and one other assembly member to attend. It appears Mayor Jensen is not able to attend this year. Assembly Member Fine Walsh has expressed interest in attending. The assembly should decide who will attend on behalf of the borough. Conference information and a draft agenda is attached. And with that, I was planning on attending. However, I've got SEPA meeting at about exactly the same time as part of the first front of this takes place. So with that, in talking with the manager, I think it'd be very good to have the manager attend the conference, and along with Member Fine Walsh. Is there any discussion, comments?
We need to do that in the form of a motion, or can we just do it loosely?
No, we do need a motion.
Then I would propose that Member Fine Walsh and the manager be our attendees. Does that work?
All right. Second.
Okay. Been moved by Member Stan Greger, seconded by Member Schwartz. All those in favor of having Member Fine Walsh and the manager attend AML, I'll let you call roll. Gert, please.
Rob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Okay, with that, well, next item is the letter of support for the Alaska Municipal League's reducing impact of rural boardwalk barrier projects. If approved, the attached letter of support will be sent to U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg to pledge Petersburg's support and commitment to participating in the Thriving Communities Regional Grant Program. Do I have a motion to send this letter of support?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Stanton Greger and seconded by Mayor Jensen. And with that, discussion? So, Member Marsh.
Thank you. So the Alaska Municipal League's commitment to this removing rural boardwalk barriers project, how has that manifested itself here in Petersburg? Do we have any information on that?
The manager?
I was emailed a request from AML for other communities to sign on. The City and Borough of Juneau has done so. So they sent the City and Borough of Juneau's resolution, and they also sent a sample, letter, explaining why they were, what they were doing and asking for our support, so.
Member My Marsh? Follow-up question would be, how have we seen this in action in Petersburg? Or have we?
I don't believe we have.
Yet. Okay, so this is a...
I think this is...
Go ahead.
Member Lim, or Mayor Lim?
Yes, go ahead.
I believe this is something new, isn't it, Kirk Thompson?
It is. It's a pilot program, I believe, from if I'm understanding correctly.
Yeah, that's my understanding also, that supported by Alaska Municipal League. But I can't tell you the details of it. Okay, other questions from assembly members? Would the clerk please call the roll? To send the letter.
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Okay. Sending a letter of support for the Alaska Municipal League on the Broadwalk Barriers Project passes unanimously. And with that, I'll move on. The next item is communications. There are a few communications in the package today, and I will not read those. Item 17 is assembly discussion items. The first item is the seafood market update. OBI and Trident Seafoods recently held a webinar to discuss the current seafood market. Assemblymember Schwartz was able to attend and will provide a brief report of the information provided during the webinar. Is there seafood that goes with this report?
Well, I'll do as brief a job as I can. For the town that Fish built, I heard from Alan Kimball, Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, Mark Palmer, CEO of OBI Seafoods, as well as others, that quote, the Alaska seafood industry is not only tough but in crisis. Highlights from both men and the changes that have happened recently with the seafood industry that have led us to this point. So from the processor perspective, for a long time, decades, the seafood industry, Alaska seafoods industry, has relied on export markets, China, Europe, big quantities of fish, big value that was paid right away. That has entirely changed. So now China has drastically reduced purchases from Alaska, cut in half. buying Russian fish. There's no pre-sales, so there's no cash flow for the processors. The Japanese yen as well as the euro has lost value compared to the American dollar. So that's never boded well for us, even since when I was a kid. And then the domestic market between the buyers and retailers, they're managing risk now with the COVID, and they've reevaluated everything they're doing. So what it's led to are processors holding large inventories of fish with decreased cash flow and having to pay much higher interest rates than even a few years ago. So what does that mean for Petersburg? I don't know. I'm trying to give you a brief summary of what I heard for an hour and 43 minutes with the webinar. The other quote from Mark Palmer, this industry is not sustainable at the levels we just went through. Fishermen cannot survive being paid 2023 prices. The other quote, processors cannot survive if they continue to finance these inventory levels and pay these interest rates. So I know that walking around town, A, B, C, D float, cold storage, down drive down dock, that there are many crew members, well, the Saners too, that hadn't been paid until the end of October. They got a pay of 25% in early September so they could pay their fuel bill and whatever else expense, and crew members, including crew members with families, June, July, August, September, October, and they're checking the mail every day because they have rent, they have insurance, they have quarterly taxes to pay. And so for the town that Fish built, and maybe somebody else can speak to this, this year was one story. What I'm hearing from some pretty big names in the fishing industry about this coming season, not good. And so I guess the second part of this may be worthy of some discussion. What does that mean for Petersburg? Not just fishing families, the kids, the crew, the raw fish tax, what that does for our harbors, for funding our harbors. There's a whole formula involved. And it's like one of the last segments of our private sector. You know, we have a little bit of tourism in there, I know that, but people come to Petersburg to see a fishing community. They don't want to see a tourist trap. And our fisheries, the words that were used during that webinar and then when I made follow-up phone calls, unprecedented, disastrous, trying to think of other adjectives I could use, I guess, but no, it's not good on any level. So that's as brief as I can make it, but it's very real for a lot of people in Petersburg right now. Thank you.
Any questions for Member Schwartz? Okay, seeing none, I'll move on. The next item on the agenda is assembly phone numbers posted on the borough website. Assembly Member Marsh would like the borough to post assembly member phone numbers on the borough website, but would like to discuss it with the assembly first. At the request of Kirk Thompson, who wants to verify that all assembly members are on board with the borough doing so. With that, I'll open it up for discussion.
Yes.
Member Marsh.
Yes, thank you. So I put this forward, wondering if the assembly has the interest to post our phone numbers on the assembly website. We have the borough emails that people can access. Some people are not very comfortable using email to communicate for any number of reasons. So I wonder if there is interest in posting our phone numbers as well. I can understand the reluctance for doing so as well, because then your phone numbers are open to anybody and everybody. So I would be interested in what the fellow assembly members have to say regarding this. And I'm okay either way. I'm happy to give my phone number out if somebody wants to email me and say, hey, what's your phone number? Let's have a phone call. That is fine also, but just what the input is.
Other assembly members? Okay. Member Fine Walsh.
Oh, just real quick. I mean, just because it would be my personal phone number, not really comfortable, publishing that primarily because of I know that the borough's IT is often the target of, you know, malicious attacks. That's just the way things go. And I like to try to limit as much personal information. I don't like to share any more personal information with that network than I need to. That's kind of my policy for every network I interface with. I try to limit, because as we know, I mean, it happens all the time. I'm constantly getting letters that so-and-so database was broken into, your data was compromised, you know, and then that's the last you hear about it. So for that reason, I know I'm a little uncomfortable. I realize it's difficult. You know, the last thing I want to do is discourage people from contacting me or reaching out to me, and I try to, you know, get out in town and walk around and be as public as possible. But I don't think this is a good idea.
Mayor Jensen?
Oh, I had to unmute myself. You know, I'm fine with it, but I can understand why certain assembly members would not want their cell phones posted. You know, I've got a borough mayor business card, and it's on there, so mine's already out. But I can definitely understand why people would be reluctant to have it, you know, out in the public's eye, but I'm fine with mine being posted. But if this is about everybody's, then maybe it wouldn't be a good idea.
Members, sorry.
It's a gone record, man. Anyway, you know, in the past, there was kind of an informal way of handling that. There was a time when I had my phone number, the only phone number on the borough website for years, and then things got updated, it was taken off. And at the time, it was more of a, if you'd like your number posted on there, get with the clerk and feel free to, as opposed to a assembly-wide decision. It was, I guess, I don't know if I'm phrasing that quite right, Clerk Thompson, but each individual assembly member kind of made their own individual choice on that in the past.
That is true, and when we decided to remove, I think yours was the only one on there.
It was.
And we thought it would just be consistent, but I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be that way.
Right. I guess I'll weigh in on that, too, is that I'm about the same as Member Fine Walsh is that my phone was compromised here recently, and I had to take everything down and put more restrictions on it. And so what happens is if you call and it's not identified, you forget it. You know, I probably won't call you back. Not that I don't want to, but I'm not willing to go through what I just went through with it. So, and if I remember back, right after we became a borough, we went through this exercise once, and it was pretty uniform that what we wanted to do was to do it through the borough email and contact, if I remember what that was. But that's been a while back.
Through the mayor, if I'm
sure.
An alternative to Assemblymember Marsh's, you know, concern that some people don't want to use email. Anybody at any time can call down here or come in here and say, I'm trying to reach Assemblymember Lynn, and we can make that happen. I mean, so that maybe that's a compromise type thing. You know, we can let Bob know that, you know, Steve wants to talk to him. I mean, in other words, so we're not spreading information around, but we're also getting the message out. I mean, that's a possibility.
Yeah, thank you. I do appreciate the added input, and, you know, as is where we are is fine by me. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, I'll move on to the next item here. It was I'm past that. Let me move on here. Assembly member comments. Any assembly members have comments? Okay.
I'll make a quick comment. Okay. I know this is Member a really Fine long Walsh. Meeting. I'll keep it super quick. But I just want to say I'm, you know, pertinent to what we were discussing earlier with the harbor looking for a maintenance shed. I'm really disappointed that, you know, it sounds like the person to blame is the state of Alaska. But I'm also a little disappointed that Petro is willing to let that building sit. I mean, it looks like complete crap now after the 5 years we've been doing this. And I can only imagine what it's going to look like 5 years down the line, 7 years down the line. So. And that's really disappointing. I mean, that's right on Mitkoff, right in the middle of town, incredible piece of land. And I understand there are some shortcomings, you know, with its past. But I just, yeah, it's frustrating. I hope we can find something productive to do with that in the future.
If I could jump in, I know this is not my place, but I just want to defend Petro a little bit, which is the state of Alaska has made this incredibly difficult
And Petro has tried really hard. I mean, I know, you know, as Galo said, they've lost some interest, but, you know, they had their attorney on the phone with our attorney and their finance director. They were trying really hard to make this work. And unfortunately, DEC is just not in a position, I think, right now to. So I don't want it. I don't want Petro feeling like it's all their fault, because it's not. I mean, it's definitely not. Sorry. Thank you.
Other assembly member comments? Seeing none, I'll move on. Any recognitions from assembly members? Member Marsh.
Yes, I would publicly like to thank the Petersburg Police Department and CCAD with their efforts and the recent activities that they've done to help make the community safer and a better place to live. So kudos to them for all the work that went in. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments or recognition from assembly members? Seeing none, the next item we'll do is we're going to move into an executive session. So with that, I think we'll take a 5-minute break as we try to, you know, clear out and set it up for the executive session. Okay.
Wait a minute. Sorry. I actually need a motion to adjourn to executive session.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I would move that we adjourn to executive session.
I moved.
Steve, sorry. Sorry. Go ahead.
I would move that we adjourn to executive session. Do I need to read the reason why?
Sure. That would be wonderful.
Let's keep it tight. You bet.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. Move to executive session to discuss with members of the borough negotiating team the status of the negotiations. Nope, that skipped on me. Sorry about that. For a new labor agreement between the borough and the IBEW.
Thank you. Thank you.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, with that, now we
can. Okay, now we're good.
Take a break.
Support for the broadcast of Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings comes from Hammer and Wecon, over 100 years strong, proudly serving Petersburg since 1921. That's Hammer and Wecon.